It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The issue of whether local police should be using military equipment has caused concern among some. This after Missouri police began patrolling the streets of Ferguson, Missouri in Humvees, or dressed in SWAT gear and pointing automatic weapons at crowds in the aftermath of the shooting of Michael Brown. Now, President Obama has ordered a review of the federal government's longtime strategy of outfitting local police departments with military-style weaponry. So this half hour, we want to look at that federal program. It's a program that has transferred more than $4 billion of used Pentagon gear to law enforcement around the country, including here in Iowa. Everything from binoculars to these massive military vehicles known as MRAPs, mine-resistant, ambush-protected, armored personnel vehicles. That's what that acronym stands for. Also, grenade launchers, yes, finding their way to local police forces here in Iowa. Do you know what's in your local police arsenal? Do you have any concerns? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. You can also find us on Twitter, tweet us at IPR Talk or Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. Joining me now for the next few minutes, 20 minutes, to talk about this issue, Catherine Blake is the State of Iowa 1033 program coordinator. How do you say that, Catherine?
It's the 1033 program.
The 1033 program. Thank you very much. Coordinator at the Iowa Department of Public Safety. We'll talk about that program in just a moment. Sean Curtin is with us in our Iowa City studio. He's a Johnson County resident concerned here. Mark Prosser is with us, Public Safety Director and Police Chief of Storm Lake. Mark and Sean, welcome to you as well.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Ben.
Catherine Blake, this is a program that until recently many of us had not known existed. Tell us about it. What does this program do?
Basically, the program is, here to assist law enforcement agencies in obtaining equipment for law enforcement purposes in the state of Iowa and across the country.
Mm-hmm. So how many years does this go back?
The program originally started during fiscal year of 1990, but it went under the National Defense Authorization Act officially in 1997. So it's been since the mid-1990s.
Can you tell us how many communities, law enforcement people in Iowa communities have been receiving this equipment?
Yes. Currently in the state of Iowa, we have 230 active and inactive agencies. Active meaning that they have equipment from the program, and inactive meaning they're enrolled in the program but do not have any pieces of equipment from the program.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of equipment has been delivered to Iowa?
Mostly in the state of Iowa, we have M16 and M14 rifles. The state of Iowa also has Humvees, like you mentioned, and then we also have watercraft, ATVs, office equipment, gym equipment, construction equipment, and various sorts of night vision equipment.
Are there any sort of stipulations attached to this equipment? Is it delivered and without cost, right?
Correct. In the state of Iowa, we do not charge law enforcement agencies to be a part of the program. That is different throughout the country. But mainly, they have to abide by what we call a state plan of operation. It's an agreement between the state of Iowa and the law enforcement agency, and it says all the rules and regulations of the program. And basically, the big main one is that they're not going to use the property, in a way that it's not supposed to be used. But they also cannot sell it. They cannot barter. They can't loan it out to people. They can't lease it to people. Illegally sell it. There's a lot of rules and regulations. The state plan of operation is actually 10 pages long for each agency that is in the program.
Mark Prosser, Public Safety Director and Police Chief of Storm Lake. You've been 3 decades in law enforcement, more than 3 decades, 25 years as in your current position. So your community, your law enforcement has received some of this equipment. What have you received through this program?
We have been. We've been a part of the military surplus, and it's been known by different names over the years, but we've been involved with it for right around 18 years. And we have received, in that time period, not all at once, but sporadically over that 18 years, a variety of support type of vehicles, everything from equipment trucks or what I would call a utility truck to 4x4 Blazers. Those were actually our first ones we received in the mid to late 90s. And up to we have one Humvee that we use. We have had step vans, kind of a utility type vehicle. And we are the recipient of one of the MRAPs. We've also received a variety of other items very similar to what Catherine outlined, including laptop computers, blankets, cold weather boots for our officers, night vision equipment. We are the recipient of 10 rifles that we used as our first generation patrol rifles. They've since been taken out of service for a newer weapon. We are the we have received four of the grenade launchers that we have.
Mm-hmm. Grenade launchers.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. How would you use those?
We would use the grenade launchers. I think a lot of folks picture a grenade launcher as sending a fragmentation explosive device, as we might see our military brothers and sisters do. But we actually have canisters that would disperse smoke and our chemical munitions like tear gas if we have to lob one of those through a window or through a doorway of a house. If we have a situation of a barricaded person or that type of critical incident, it alleviates the need for an officer to have to go up and try and get close to the house. We can do it from some distance. They're single shot units, and that's what we would use those for.
Okay, Mark Prosser and Catherine Blake. Sean Curtin, I want to talk to you now. You're a resident of Iowa City. I understand, looking at your bio, you're a guns rights activist, a libertarian who previously worked as the county chair and the state delegate for Ron Paul's campaign. You were part of a meeting this week in Iowa City, over 40 people concerned about this type of equipment in the hands of local law enforcement. Also involved in that meeting, I understand, police community relation representatives. What specific concerns did your group air?
So the meeting was called really as a response to the police response to the shooting of Mike Brown in Ferguson. And so, you know, this is a very broad subject, but I think, you know, the scenes of terror that were shown in the streets of Ferguson, and specifically the use of military equipment by the police, that's going to be the main reason that the meeting was called. Of course, many other things were discussed.
So give me a specific example of your worst fears. We had Police Chief Prosser there talk about how many of these things, while designed for the battlefield, have applications here in our civilian world. What are your worst fears here?
You know, I think the civilian application is questionable at best. But you know what we saw in Missouri. You know, that's a state that appears to participate a bit more heavily than Iowa in the 1033 program. And when we talk about the militarization of the police, that must have had an effect on the psyche of the officers down there. Most are familiar with the video clip that came out of an officer responding to a citizen journalist in the streets of Ferguson, leveling what appeared to be an AR-15 or military M16 weapon at the citizen journalist on camera and saying, "I will expletive kill you."
Mm-hmm. Tie that into the fact that, I mean, we don't want to say that our police forces can't have assault rifles.
No, absolutely
not. Civilians can have assault rifles.
Certainly,
right?
And absolutely not. You know, when you talk about the 1033 program and you talk about the militarization of the police, you put the two together. The real concern, something that's not hypothetical, is the use of these programs and these tactics for SWAT raids and the way in which SWAT teams have been used and their role has evolved. But certainly the police should have rifles. They should have body armor. So there's quite a difference between having a semi-automatic AR-15 in your trunk and, of course, body armor versus having it riding shotgun or being out in the streets wearing a Marpat woodland camo and leveling that rifle. at someone's face. So the police certainly need to protect themselves.
Police Chief Prosser, answer those concerns. It seems to me, broadly speaking, one of the main concerns Sean has here is if you're given a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail.
I think that that's up to interpretation. Police departments have a wide variety of tools and equipment, and it all comes back to a variety of other overlapping issues. Training, education, transparency with the public, and then combine that with other types of programs, at least that we do in our jurisdiction, as far as extensive community outreach and working with our citizens, hopefully to avoid any types of civil disobedience issues. So, you know, I don't think the issue is as much the military surplus equipment as it is how it's used. And I think law enforcement executives in our state have proven to be very prudent in their use and application of the many different types of items that have been acquired through the military surplus program.
Catherine Blake, does this equipment from the military, from the Pentagon, come with any training that Police Chief Prosser mentioned?
No, it's all up to the departments to provide the different training for the different tools that they receive through the program.
Mm-hmm. How do you, Mr. Prosser, then receive the training?
Well, it depends on the item that you're talking about, but we have rifle instructors, firearms instructors that deal with all of our different types of use of force. We have gas instructors that deal with the use of chemical munitions. As it applies to the vehicles, the majority of all of our vehicles that we've received are pretty much generic vehicles that are commonly used on the roads. I think the specific one is to the MRAP, and we have received manuals. We have trained, and we are training in the use of the vehicle. The officers that are operating are currently studying under the CDL process on dealing with heavy equipment, and we have been in touch with now private instructors who are starting to offer training in the use of those vehicles.
How would you, for example, use an MRAP, a mine-resistant, ambush-protected, armored personnel vehicle in Storm Lake?
Well, you coined how we would use it in your final term, armored. What we're looking for, there's nothing offensive on this particular vehicle, no weaponry or anything. It is a vehicle that will protect first responders if we have to move into a critical or a dangerous situation to either move our officers in or away or to move victims or other individuals that might be close to a violent situation. And so currently, or up until we received that vehicle, all we had were handheld shields.
Okay.
That pretty much only protected against a pistol or a handgun type of round. So we were looking for something that can protect our officers in those situations. It's our hope that we'll have it and we'll never have to use it.
Sean Curtin, what are your thoughts on the use of the MRAP or other equipment here? It sounds like Mark Prosser would be perhaps using that if there was a mass shooting situation, dangerous to many officers to move in with an armored vehicle. What's wrong with that?
You know, there wouldn't be anything necessarily wrong or evil about that. But to, you know, this is invoking a boogeyman saying there is a mass shooting, so we need military equipment. But, you know, what Chief Prosser, you know, the thing about Chief Prosser and his use of the 1033 program, it's something that's, you know, a little bit deeper than that. His area, Storm Lake, is the county seat for, I believe, Buena Vista County, which is a very small county of about 20,000 people. And so from my research, it appears that Chief Prosser has pushed for a large acquisition of this military equipment. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, and he can correct me, but I hope that he wouldn't, you know, he actually has the largest amount of 1033 program equipment of any county in the state. He has a larger amount of equipment than Polk County. And so, you know, everywhere around his community, you're seeing these things being used for whatever purpose. And another item that he has is what's labeled as some 40 or 50 combat knives or bayonets. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if those are given out as gifts or what the law enforcement application of that is, but it's over the top.
Yeah, before we have Chief Prosser respond to that, can you point, Sean Curtin, to incidents where this type of equipment was harmful in Iowa or in the nation?
And so, you know, certainly, I think that the use of MRAPs and Bearcats and other 1033 equipment, although a Bearcat is not necessarily a 1033 piece of equipment. You know, when you have a peaceful protest and you roll in and you respond in that way, you know, there are people who might just not come outside and protest mm-hmm. because they're terrified. And so, you know, I actually spoke with a combat vet from the Army from Iraq and Afghanistan. And the statement that he had made is that if they were worried about a shooter, someone with a rifle, they would come in with an up-armored Humvee. That the use of an MRAP would be impractical. And so, you know, if we're gonna throw out the narrative about officer safety, let's not scare the heck out of people at a protest. You know, okay. Up armor one of your Chevy, you know, one of your Tahoes.
Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left. Police Chief Prosser, respond to what you've heard there from Sean Curtin.
Well, a couple of items. I can't speak for the entire county. I can only speak for Storm Lake Police Department, and I believe we only have 21 items on the current roster or audit, none of which are bayonets. So I can't speak for the entire area. As it applies to the MRAP, I'll be the first to admit, and I've admitted at several different presentations about it, that if we had the budget and the money to purchase an armored vehicle or to up-armor a Tahoe or to up-armor a Humvee, we would do that. But we have not had that type of money in our budget, nor do I foresee any time in the near future, and when I say future years, that our community will have that type of excess money to do that. So the next best thing, in my opinion, and in the opinion of our command staff and our council administration, is to acquire something that's free and to use it. Is it the type of vehicle that I would have designed or ordered for the city? No. Is it the only one that is accessible to us right now that we can afford because it's free? Yes.
Okay. Let's quickly get Aaron into the conversation, one of our listeners calling from Iowa City. Aaron, please make it brief, but welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. So I'll make it brief. My concern is that I was reading that this DOD 1033 requires that these police departments use this equipment within the first year or they have to return it. I was wondering if anybody could confirm or deny that, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank
okay. Catherine Blake, is that part of the deal to use it or lose it the first year?
Yeah. Yes, the state plan of operations states that items are not supposed to be garnered for future use, but they do understand that certain items aren't just going to be used at any time or every time a situation arises. So there is what I would call wiggle room for that being open. And,
what if you don't have a situation that needs the equipment that you've...
Then they will urge it to be moved. We've had a situation that
I've
dealt with.
To be returned or moved to a different facility?
It'll be moved to a different facility. They always want to transfer items to an agency before transferring it out of the state since it's already been here. I've actually dealt with this and had an APC, which is an armored personnel carrier, that has been in an agency for quite some time. And due to the fact that it took them so long to get it painted, they were almost under the gun to have it transferred out of their program. But the federal program made an exception. That's not up to me to make.
Okay. David is in Des Moines. Hi, David. Do you have a concern here or question?
Yes. It seems to me that the only reason that we give police the legitimate use of force in our society is to protect our citizens, and that this militarization of the police and these new tactics that are not just used here at home but around the world have shown that the police no longer use their protection to protect the citizens, but rather at a certain point consider our own well-being and even the very lives of the citizens they're supposed to protect as less important than the public good and the public well-being. And it seems to me that that is where they've stepped over the line with these tactics.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for that. And let me just throw in here some very quickly a new poll from the Pew Research Center and then have Chief Prosser respond because there's quite a bit of uneasiness across the country on this issue. Over 1,000 adults surveyed by the Pew Research Center, 54% say they have a great deal or a fair amount of confidence in police departments around the country to use military equipment and weapons appropriately. However, Police Chief, 44%, they have not too much or no confidence at all in police departments to wisely deploy this type of equipment. Chief Prosser, what does that tell you?
Well, I think it tells us that our relationship with our community is always a work in progress. As much money that we've talked about and donated equipment or surplus equipment that our county or our city or our state has received. At least in Storm Lake, we spend a lot more time, a lot more money, and a lot more man hours and personnel hours creating relationships and working in our public and with our different populaces to create good relationships and create an atmosphere where they can trust us to make good decisions.
Sean Curtin,
and I think that has to be a balanced approach.
Okay, Sean Curtin, quickly, we're coming up to the end here. What are you asking for in your group? What do you want, concrete?
You know, so the 1033 program is something that shouldn't be used in Iowa. Our agency should not be participating in it. And so, you know, of course, I would call on Chief Prosser and every other law enforcement authority figure to return their military vehicles, starting with MRAPs, of course. We just have all these problems. And, you know, Chief Prosser mentioned that, I can talk about the city. I can't talk about the county. And so the law is set up in a way that you really can't determine where the gear is going.
Sean Curtin, I want to give the police chief a chance to respond here. The president has ordered a review of the federal this program outfitting local departments such as yours with military-style weaponry. How concerned are you that the program will be scaled back, some equipment on offer eliminated?
I'm not concerned. I welcome the review. I think reviews are good. I think if mistakes have been made and abuses have been made, then the corrective action should be taken. But I'm confident that the sheriffs and police chiefs, the greatest majority in this country, use it responsibly and to the advantage of their communities.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. And, you know, the other thing is people don't ever talk about the positive income or the positive outcomes that have come from the program and the equipment that has been in the state of Iowa for years. They don't talk about the people that have been rescued from floodwaters in southeast Iowa. They don't talk about the different situations where this equipment has made the difference in the life of an officer or a civilian. It doesn't matter. People don't talk about the positives of this program.
Okay. Catherine Blake, State of Iowa 1033 Program Coordinator with the Iowa Department of Public Safety. Thank you for joining us this half hour.
Thank you.
And Public Safety Director and Police Chief of Storm Lake, Mark Prosser, thank you. And
thank you,
Sean Curtin of Iowa City, thank you for offering your views.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll have a short break, and then we'll talk about how kids, we know kids are back at school. We want to talk about a dramatically different grading practice called standards referenced grading. It's new in the Des Moines Public School District. We'll talk about what makes it so different and what its proponents say will do to the schooling of our kids. That's when we return. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.